If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter, we want to read a few verses here and talk about the difference between being conformed versus transformed. So let's begin reading in Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I tell you, I love the language of the King James translation. I love the meaning of the words, as y'all often hear me sharing definitions of words and so forth, and this is no exception right here. The superiority of this translation in terms of just understanding and seeing how simple the instruction in the Word of God is. The difference between conformity and transformity. Okay, so definitions. The word conform, it means to fashion alike, to conform to the same pattern, to fashion yourself according to a certain pattern, to be made to resemble something, assume the same form. It means to reduce to a likeness in manners, opinions, or moral qualities. To conform one's mind and character to another's pattern. The root word of conformity or conform is the Greek word schema, which is where we get our word for scheme or plan. So in other words, conforming means to comply with a certain scheme or a certain plan or way of acting. To live or act according to another as you would conform to the fashion of something or to the custom of something. To comply with. Now, all conformity is not bad. It means to comply with, to obey, as to conform to the laws of a state or a nation. You know, that's a good thing, to conform to the laws of a state or a nation, as long as those laws are not in contradiction with something that the Word of God teaches. So that type of conformity, when it comes to doing the speed limit, you know, keeping the laws of the land, that's a good thing. Now in the Scripture, there are good instances of conformity, and there are bad instances. I'm going to give you a good one, which is just from a few pages over in Romans, the 8th chapter, where the Lord says, through the Apostle Paul, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's a good conformity right there. And notice that that conforming is not something that you do or that I do. It is something that God is going to do to you. You are going to be conformed to the image of Christ at the last day, at the resurrection, and your body will be changed. And that change will be you being conformed to the image of Christ. You're not going to be a clone of Christ, but you're going to be like Christ. It's going to take His action upon you to do that. That's a good thing, and that's not the type of conformity that is under consideration in Romans 12. What he's speaking of in Romans 12 is something that you can do. If you couldn't do it, he wouldn't say, don't do it. See? So you can do this. You can conform yourself to the world. And sadly, that's where we see most of God's people, God's children, going, is conforming themselves, looking like the world. There is a bad conforming, and that is what we're talking about here tonight, Romans 12. Be not conformed to the world. Praise God, at the end of time, we will be conformed by the work of Christ, the work of the Father before the foundation of the world, when He chose a people, an innumerable host of people, a some certain that cannot miss heaven because why? Of the work of Christ conforming them to something that they can never be without Him. That's a wonderful thing. So you want to enjoy that conforming, but you don't want to be participating in the type of conforming that he's speaking of here. Be not conformed to this world. Now, look at the next word, which is transformed. He says, be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let's talk about the definition of that word, transform. It is where we get our word today for metamorphosis. Metamorphosis.
The root word in transform is the Greek word that we derive metamorphosis from. To change or to transfigure or to transform. To change into another form. In Matthew the 17th chapter, it's the same word as transformed, where he speaks of Christ being transfigured before them up on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was there with Peter, James, and John. And as they went up into the Mount, Christ took on another form. He appeared to them in the form that he was going to be after his resurrection. Don't ask me to explain how. You'll just have to ask God and ponder that for ages up in heaven. But he's capable of transforming himself, transfiguring himself. See, his figure was transferred into what he would appear like after his resurrection. And it was bright and blinding to them. It was so awe-inspiring and scary, and his brightness was so resplendent to them that Peter got nervous and said, "Lord, you want us to build an altar here for you, for Elijah and for Jesus and for Moses?" You know, Elijah and Moses appeared, and the Lord said, "You missed the point, buddy. This is all about my son. This is about his glory." That is the same word as transformed right here. Jesus was transfigured into something that he was totally different in appearance. They still recognized him. They recognized his face, but his glory was manifest. And the idea of metamorphosis is different than conforming, because conforming would be to look like everyone else, to present yourself in the same form as everybody else, whereas being transformed is an adjustment of the parts where you would look totally different. I know this is silly, but it was on my mind when I thought about this, and for at least the last 17 years or so, when we have our little music festival up there at Zion, I make it my mission to transfigure myself into something else. As a matter of fact, I did such a good job with it 15 years ago or so. I was up on stage pretending to be someone else and had transfigured myself in a disguise. My aunt looked up there, who's like a second mother to me, and she looked at Tracy and said, "Who is that?" And I was like, "Yes, I did it. I transfigured. That's all fake, and you know, I'm just acting," but that is an adjustment of the parts, a rearranging, so it's almost not recognizable. That's transforming. Now, the root, as I said, for transforming is where we get the word metamorphosis. It means to adjust the parts. So there is a readjusting rather than just appearing just like you were. And this is not about how you wear your hair or what type of clothes you wear. That's not what this is about. This is about something that happens on the inside that affects the outside outward conduct. Conformity is something that happens on the outside that really can have no bearing on the inside other than somebody's given into peer pressure or they're just trying to go along to get along. If a child of God is trying to conform themselves to the world, it just turns into nothing but just mistakes and wrong. But transforming is a totally different situation. An extreme or radical change where the internal of what has happened to someone affects the external. Here's some examples of transforming. The first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding there in Cana of Galilee, what did he do? He transformed water into wine. Something had to act upon that substance, that water, in order to turn it into something that it was not. You know, they ran out of wine, and that was going to be a social embarrassment because the wedding planner, you know, the magistrate of the wedding, had not planned enough for the crowd that showed up, and then, or maybe they didn't have enough money to buy wine, and then the next thing you know, it's going to be a colossal embarrassment. It would have been the talk of Nazareth and other towns. And yet, what does Jesus do? He takes these casts of water. It was probably 30-something gallons in these different water pots that they filled up. And he turns them into wine. He transfigured them. The form of them was changed. See? That is an example of transfiguration or transforming. He turned it into something that it was not. Everybody, I'm sure when I said metamorphosis, I'm sure your mind, if you know anything about, you know, the world of nature, my first thing my mind went to, as I'm sure it was yours, is to the caterpillar. Think about that. You know, that ugly little caterpillar turns into something, transforms into something that doesn't even look like what it was. And it goes inside that cocoon, and inside there, there's a transformation, and when it comes out, it's something totally different. I was trying to think of the name of our little moth that transformed. I don't know if it was Reggie or whatever, but we had this cocoon that showed up in the house on a piece of greenery that somebody brought inside and put somewhere, and we're like, oh, there's a cocoon there. And I'm telling you, that thing stayed there, Brother Cole, it had to be 6 months. I mean, I was tempted many times just to toss it. There's no way that anything can be in there for 6 months. And after 6 months, this little caterpillar transformed inside into this hand-sized moth that I actually was a little afraid of. It was so big, and we just let it fly around the house, Reggie or whatever his name was. I always closed my door at night for sure because I was afraid I was going to wake up with him on my face. But it was amazing. I said, guys, look at this. I mean, it was huge, and we finally let it go. I said, we can't destroy this thing. It's too beautiful. It's amazing. Let it go. And it flew out and went off to, you know, terrorize whatever other moths were out there. But he was gigantic. I don't know if it had something to do with the conditions that were inside the house and it was better than outside, but he was huge. That was a transformation. That's amazing. You see, God puts these things in nature that we can look at and just be awed over just because they're amazing. And you can see an example in that transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's what he's talking about in having your mind transformed, having your activities transformed and not conformed. Now, you want to talk about a person who went from a caterpillar to a butterfly, just think about the Apostle Paul. Here's a guy in the book of Acts who is wreaking havoc on the church of God. He's got arrest warrants and he's going to kill Christians, arrest them and have them put to death. And he's already done that multiple times. But something happened to that little caterpillar on the way to the Damascus as he was traveling. The Lord appeared to him and a transformation occurred inside the Apostle Paul. Paul looked up. He was known as Saul at that time. He, by the way, let me say this. He was conforming to the religious world around him. You hear me? He was conforming and he was doing what he was told to do. He was doing what he thought he ought to do. He thought he was following the Mosaic law and he was kicking against God himself, thinking that he was following and all he was doing was conforming. But the Lord shows up and he transforms him. He says, Saul, Saul, calls him by name, and Saul looks up and says, who art thou, Lord? He knows he's his Lord. See, there's a transformation. It's always important for us to remember that for the child of God, there has to be God conducting a transformation upon a child of God, borning them again, giving them spiritual life. The preacher doesn't do it. The parent doesn't do it. The teacher doesn't do it. The grandparent doesn't do it. It's God himself acting upon the child of God, transforming them. That's the only way the scripture teaches that it happens. And after the transformation occurs, do not let yourself be conformed to the world. Paul was conformed to the world that he knew. And when he was transformed, he had a totally different look. He had a totally different life. He did things totally different. And by the way, he wrote this right here, Romans the 12th chapter. You wouldn't have Romans the 12th chapter if that caterpillar hadn't been turned into a butterfly. And I'm telling you, one of the most beautiful butterflies. He's one of the most beautiful things in the New Testament. You have more writings from the Apostle Paul from this former Christian killer. Why? Because the Lord turned a caterpillar into a butterfly. So as a child of God, touched by the Spirit, loving the Lord, you've already been transformed into the world, the spiritual world. So now you can continue to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. You've got everything that God needs from God in order to do this. People say, well, I don't know where to start. That's why I love how simple this is. He says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was thinking about this. If you've ever been to Six Flags or somewhere like that, you go to ride a roller coaster and you wait in line. I mean, how many of you have ever just wanted to break line and get up front? I mean, I have. But what do? I'm going to conform myself and just stay in line and just wait and wait and wait until I finally get to, I wait for 45 minutes to ride a 30-second ride. That makes me feel really dumb when I think about it like that. But I've done it many times. And again, there's some things conforming that are not necessarily evil or bad. The conforming, though, is an external thing and not an internal thing. Going through the motions, see? Waiting in line for a ride, wearing the same type of clothes as other people, or having the same type of hairstyle as other people. If you're a transformed child of God, touched by the Spirit of God, you ought to have a little bit of that in you. Maybe you need a lot of that in you in this day and time, and say within yourself, not have to have mama and daddy or grandmother or granddaddy or preacher say, here's what you ought not to be conforming to, because you're going to look like the world when you do this, or you're going to act like the world when you do this. We should have built-in spiritual sensors like that to say, I'm just not going to conform to the way these folks are dressing out here because it's just taking off too many clothes. Or I'm just not going to conform to 27 hours a day, you know, of being on my phone. There's not 27 hours a day. I thought y'all would laugh at that one, but you know, I'm not going to conform to 27 hours a day of gaming. I'm not going to conform to spending untold amounts of time with activities that are non-spiritual, not necessarily evil, but are non-spiritual in their root, when I could be taking some of that time and transforming myself into something that pleases God. You got to have a little streak of that within you as a child of God. You might say it like this: as a child of God, you need a little rebel in you. And I don't mean a rebel to the sense of, that you're breaking laws and things like that, but I mean in terms of being a child of God, to say, I'm just not going to conform to what all these other folks are doing, because they're headed in a path that is not in a direction that honors God. Have we even stopped and assessed? I've been saying that a lot lately, I know. Will we assess those things in our life and say, hey, oh, in these categories right here, I'm conforming. Lord, help me to back out of that and transform myself. How in the world am I going to be able to do that? Look what he says right here, verse 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is a key to this transformation. I've told you many, many years that I'm not after your soul. Jesus Christ won your soul on Calvary, but I am after your mind. I want you to be captivated by the things of Christ. I want you to understand more and more about Him as time goes by, not less and less. I'm making my weekly devotion. I'm devoted weekly to trying to study the Word of God and ask the Lord, what do we need? What do we need to hear? What do I need to hear? What do I need to study so that the people of God can see Christ a little more clearly, a little better? Because that's what I want. I want to understand my Savior more and more until that time comes when I'm going to be with Him one day, praise God. I want to keep growing in that knowledge. And that's the way the Word of God is set up. You can. How? By being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to use your mind. But look, I've really enjoyed listening to books on Audible. I've got Audible on my phone. And I've listened to some doozies. Some that nobody else, I'm sure there's like me and two other people in the world that have downloaded these books and listened to them. And I love listening to those things. But I'm telling you, it's different when that man or woman is talking to me and it's coming into my ears as opposed to me sitting down reading that. It's a different process for the brain. Now, I like it. I'm not going to quit it. And I promise y'all, I'm not going to go to reading those books going down the road, because that's when I usually listen to Audible. Or I listen to sermons, okay? But reading that for yourself is a different animal. It's different than just having somebody put it in your brain. So take church, for example. You say, well, that means we don't need to listen to you, Brother Tim, preaching. I knew somebody was going to say that. No, that's not what that means. God has given the gift of the preaching of the gospel so that you can be stimulated in your spiritual person, in your spiritual transformed self, and then maybe take the notes that you hear or the things that peak in your mind or what you remember, and you go study that out. See, that's what God intended. Is for you to be stimulated by the preaching of the gospel. Now, I listen to an audio book and it stimulates my mind. But I'm just telling you now, I don't remember near as well the things that I listened to on Audible as opposed to the things that I went and took hours upon hours to spend time reading. I just don't remember those as well. And I've tried and I just can't. So it's all about renewing your mind. It's all about what you put in front of your eyes. And you say, well, my study time is deficient. You can fix that just like that. You can talk to me. I'll teach you how to fix that. I'm embarrassed to tell you how deficient my study was before it finally dawned on me. You know, the Lord's called me, and I've got to actually read the Bible to be able to preach it. So when I realized what I needed to do in order to renew my mind, one of the first things that dawned on me is I'm not going to be able to watch as much TV as I used to. Because I used to love to watch TV. I still love to watch TV. But I'm not going to be able to do that as much as I used to, because I must give some of that time to the Lord so that I can renew my mind. And hey, I'm going to have to figure out in my work schedule as a bivocational pastor, I'm going to have to figure out in my work schedule ways that I can study the Word of God on a daily basis. And listen, that's not just for the pastor, see? You want to renew your mind? You want to see transformation? Then get in the Word of God. He says, maybe you're drifting in your life, or maybe you don't know where things are headed or what you need to do, or maybe that's the case. And he says that if you will renew your mind, if you'll be transformed by metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind, then you will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more you learn about God. The more time you spend listening to preaching, the more you learn about God. The more time you spend in prayer, the more you learn about God. And you're transforming yourself. It dawned on me when I was about 27. I had read the Bible through. I know I've shared this with y'all before, but I had read the Bible through when I was about 18 and don't remember a thing. I just checked it off. It meant nothing. But when I was about 27 and the Lord recalled me, I had a season there in the spring of that year. And it's like the pages were coming alive to me. As I read day after day, I had time. I'd get my work done, and I'd have time in the afternoon to read the Word of God. And I have never seen anything so amazing. I could not wait to get back to it. I could not wait to read the next page. And sometimes I'd read so long that I'd look up and I'd be like, "My goodness, you know, it's time to go home," or "It's you know, I was supposed to be somewhere." Lost in the Word of God, it was transforming me. How? By renewing my mind in the Word of God. Notice he says, not new your mind, but renew your mind. Because you got to do that again and again, see? To prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I issue a challenge from the Word of God. If there's anything that you have a question about, if there's anything that's troubling you, if there's anything that bothers you, if you'll lay that down before the Lord and look to the Word of God and just study the Word of God, maybe on that particular subject or just in general, if you don't know where to start, I issue the challenge. You will find the will of God in that issue you're dealing with. You will. Not because Brother Tim said so, but it's because that's how faithful God is. Now, you may not like the answer that you find. That's what I found. You know, I used to say, "Lord, this is what I want to do. Now I want you to bless it." That's not a good prayer to pray. We should say like the Apostle Paul, the transformed, born-again child of God on the road to Damascus. He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Now you're on the right track to finding the will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Will you assess and look and see in your life? Will I assess and look and see in my life where I am conforming to the world? I mean, there's got to be ways that we are, maybe that we don't even realize. And ask God, "Lord, bless me to see what these ways are so that I can be transformed." You know, it doesn't mean you're going to have some type of location shift, or, you know, it may not be something huge, but it will be huge to you and your heart when you locate it and you do what God's telling you to do about being transformed. Now watch this. You want to know what this looks like? I want you to look down to verse 9. If you want to know what the marks of transformation are, you say, "I really wish I could see what it looks like." These are the characteristics of transformation. This is what it looks like when a child of God, born of the Spirit, is transforming their mind, and renewing their mind in the Word of God, in preaching, and trying to serve God. Look at this as we close. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil." That word "abhor" is where we get the word "horror." I'm admitting myself, I don't think that I look at evil like it's a horror movie or some kind of horror. You know, I think we get so accustomed to the standard of morality keep lowering and lowering and lowering until we're not really abhorred by what's going on a lot of times. But he says to be horrified by that which is evil. So what is evil? That's another question for another day and another sermon. The Word of God clearly lays out what is evil, what is righteous, what is good, what is bad. He says, abhor that. Be horrified by that which is evil. And cleave, or that means glue. Glue yourself to that which is good. You've got good, godly friends. You want to glue yourself to them. You got a godly spouse, glue yourself to them. You've got godly people in the church of God, glue yourself to them. But we're generally pulled towards the world and the worldly friends because they're more exciting, they're more fun, they're doing more things. And yet when you get in the midst of that, it's always a disaster. It's not like these Christians are over here not having any fun. It's just a different kind of fun, you see? It's a righteous fun. It's a righteous joy. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That's what transformation looks like. In honor, prefer one another. That's what transformation looks like. Not slothful in business. Don't be lazy or a sluggard. That's what transformation looks like. So here's a guy, maybe he was a sluggard and he wouldn't do anything and he wouldn't work. You know, as the old song said, he wouldn't even hoe corn. You know, he wouldn't work. And so then one day, all of a sudden he's out there working. Well, what happened to this guy? Maybe the Lord got a hold of him. And he's not slothful in business anymore. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And let me say, don't go down through here picking and choosing which one you like. It's not a list to pick and choose from. It's a list that we ought to be striving for in transformation every single day. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, blessing them which persecute you, blessing and curse not. Rejoicing with them that do rejoice and weeping with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Well, that's a dose of humility right there, isn't it? Be not wise in your own conceits. You can't present a transformed persona. You can't present transformation in the general public if you're wise in your own conceits, if you're conceited. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest. That means plan ahead to do honest and good things in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It may not be possible at times, but if that's not possible, just get away. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but give place to wrath, for vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These are all examples of transformation. You say, well, how can I do that? Get in the Word of God by the renewing of your mind. Talk to your godly friends. Iron sharpens iron. Talk to your pastor. Talk to the people that are serving God, and you can see that they're transformed. You know, attach yourself to those people and stay away from conforming to the world. I missed this one in verse 3, and we'll close with this. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you. This is where it all starts. If you want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not to think. You get that? Where do you think? That's easy, isn't it? You think in your mind, right? There's a reason the Apostle Paul said that first. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every child of God, born of the Spirit, has the measure of faith dealt to them in the new birth. You've got everything that you need. God's given it to you. It's non-refundable, praise God. It's not given to you so that we can conform to the world, but it's given to us so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I hope and pray that we can see the difference between conforming and just going the way of the world, and children of God going from little ugly caterpillars by the grace of God turning into butterflies. And once He turns you into that butterfly, once He turns you into that beautiful thing, you want to keep flying. Your lifespan, the lifespan of a butterfly is like a few weeks. And in the scope of things, the lifespan that you have in the scale of time is just a few hours, like a vapor. Don't you want to fly and demonstrate transformation for that little amount of time that you have while you're here on this earth? One of the first ways that you can do that is by becoming a baptized member of the Church of God. We give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.